He said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you."
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of the Feasts of Passover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Feasts of Passover.
In the fall, we did a series on the Feast of the Lord. And we covered a couple of the Feasts of the Lord. And this spring, we are going to continue with these feasts. So as soon as they get the slides going, we'll move ahead. There you go. All right. The Feast of the Lord. Now, there are two time periods for the feast. There is the spring period for the feast, and then there's the fall period for the feast. So the spring feasts are listed up here on the projector. We see that Passover is what we're going to look at today, and that is celebrated this year on April the 4th. All right, so we'll be celebrating Passover next week. And the Passover actually represents the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we'll be talking about on Maundy Thursday. So our Maundy Thursday message will look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that actually deals with the burial of Jesus Christ. And that takes place this year on the Jewish calendar on April 5th. And actually, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they kind of run simultaneously, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is actually celebrated for 7 days. And then on April 6th, on the Jewish calendar, is what is known as the Feast of the First Fruits. And the Feast of the First Fruits actually represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we'll look at we're going to look at that next week. On Easter Sunday, we're going to look at the Feast of the First Fruit. And you know, it's amazing how that Israel celebrated these feasts, but the scripture actually says that these are God's appointed feasts, that these are the feasts of the Lord. So that lets us know that they go a little bit beyond what Israel does in their celebration. And then after that, we'll look at the Feast of Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that will be celebrated on May 24th this year. Now, we already looked at the fall feast, but just to kind of recap what we saw when we looked at the fall feast, we looked at the Feast of Trumpets, and we talked about how that's the beginning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and that actually signifies the return of Jesus Christ. And that will be celebrated on September 14th. Of this year. And then last year in the fall, we looked at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And that actually deals with the fact that Christ atoned for our sins. And this year, that'll be celebrated on September the 23rd. And then a comment that many of you made to me after I preached this message, when we looked at the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, and how that on this time of the year, during this time of the year, the Jewish people actually put tents out in their yard. And so if you were to ride through Squirrel Hill and other places where Jewish people live, you would see tents in the backyard, and they are actually celebrating Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And this will be celebrated this year on September the 28th, and this represents the millennium or Jesus dwelling among us. So those are the seven feasts of the Lord. Now, as we began to look at these feasts, we looked at each one, those fall feasts. We had this outline that we said we want to look at to be able to understand what these feasts meant. So we use the word holy, and the H stands for honor. What occasion does it honor? So this morning we're going to look at Passover, and we're going to say, well, what occasion does Passover honor? We see the observance. How is it observed? The lesson. What lessons can be learned from the feast? And then Y stands for Yeshua or Jesus. What does it point to about the work of Christ and what he did? So let's open in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And as I studied this feast of Passover, it's amazing when you look at this feast in relationship to the life of Christ. It just staggers the imagination. That's all I can say. In Exodus chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So this actually, on the Jewish calendar, March, April, is the first month of the Jewish calendar. Our Gregorian calendar, you know, it's March, April time, but in the Jewish calendar, this is the beginning of their year. He said, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So on the 10th day of this month, they were to take a lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And when they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but with a roast with fire, its head, its legs, and the inward parts thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord, it didn't say it's Israel, it said it is the Lord's Passover. Now, we're going to look at this a little deeper on Monday, Thursday, so you want to come out. We're going to look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So this is the background for the Feast of Passover. Now, if you look at your notes, and I'm going to move through this first part rather expeditiously, But we want to ask the question, what does it honor? What does the feast of Passover honor? Remember our outline, holy, H-O-L-Y. What does it honor? Is it observed? What lessons can we learn? And how does it point to Yeshua? Passover commemorates the deliverance of the Hebrew people out of Egyptian bondage. It is celebrated on the 14th day of Nisan. It specifically deals with the last of the 10 plagues that the Lord sent against the Egyptian, and that was the death of the firstborn. The Lord commanded the Hebrew people to take the blood of a lamb without blemish and spread it on the doorposts of their house. As the Lord passed by their home, if he saw the blood, he would pass by them and their firstborn would be spared alive. It was after the death of the firstborn sons of Egypt that Pharaoh released the Hebrews to go and worship the Lord. So this is what Passover honors. How was it observed? Well, the period of the feast, as we already looked at, it was to begin on the 14th day of the month, and it was to go till the 21st day. So they were to celebrate this feast for 7 days. What was the purpose? We read it. It's a memorial. So whenever they have the Passover, and Jewish people celebrate the Passover every year, that whenever they have the Passover, it is a memorial. God wanted them to remember how he took the lives of the firstborn males in the Egyptian homes and how he passed over the homes of the children of Israel while they were in Egypt. So it was to be a memorial. Every time they took the Passover, they were to remember how God delivered them from the death angel and brought them out of Egypt to worship him. What are some of the practices that they do? They were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. They were not to put anything with leaven in their homes. They had to put it out. So if you had some baking soda or baking powder in your home, you had to put it out. Anything with leaven, and like I said, Thursday when we look at this, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you know, we're going to get into that a little bit more. And so they had to do this for 7 days, put things with leaven out of the home. And then on the beginning of Passover and the end was to be a holy convocation. They were to be gathered together to worship the Lord. And then in this time, there was no work to be done. So they were not to do any work during this time period. What lessons can we learn? What lessons can we learn? First of all, we learn a lesson in redemption. When the Lord went through Egypt, taking the lives of the firstborn on the homes where the blood of the doorpost was, he passed over it. Redemption. So God redeemed them. When others were dying, God redeemed them. And so we also see a lesson in deliverance. And what is that? That the Lord delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. So now this brings us to the point that we want to get at. Yeshua. How does the Passover relate to Yeshua? We celebrate this as Palm Sunday. And as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we think of Jesus riding into the city on a horse, and the people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And we get all excited about that. But we're going to read here in a second that on that day, Jesus didn't cheer with the crowds. But when Jesus rode in the city, the Bible says that he wept. Now, why would he cry on such a joyous occasion? Everybody else is rejoicing. Everybody else is praising, and Jesus is crying. And why is he crying? Very simply, the reason that he's crying is because this was the same day that the Jewish people selected the Passover lamb. Wow. The same day when he rode in the city was the same day that they selected the Passover lamb. And so Jesus didn't ride into the city, and I hate to say this, but I think that the history of the church, you know, we have celebrated a Palm Sunday, and we have made it like a coronation of the king. You know, and the church did that. God didn't do that. Now, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but that's all right. God didn't do that. God didn't turn this into a celebration where we put down palms for Jesus to ride on. The true meaning behind this day is that Jesus rode into the city, and I'm going to show you this. He rode into the city to offer himself as the Lamb of God. Isn't it interesting? On the day when the Jewish people selected the Lamb, that Jesus said, "Here I am, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world." And so when we consider that, hopefully we'll take a new look at Palm Sunday and realize what it meant to God and realize what it meant to Jesus and not necessarily what it means to the church, that we'll have that understanding. And so we see here, how does this Passover relate to Jesus? Well, Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal, and there's a lot of controversy as to when, what day Jesus was crucified and what day he celebrated. So, you know, I did a whole study on that, on what day was Jesus crucified. So, you know, if you want to debate that, you know, we could debate that at another time. But sometime during this week, Jesus sat down and ate the Passover meal with the disciples, and we call that the what? Last Supper. The Last Supper. What was he eating? He was eating the Passover meal. All right? Now, after they ate the Passover meal, the Bible says they sang a hymn and went out into the night. What was the hymn that they sung? I'm going to tell you exactly what hymn. You can go back and study it out. According to Jewish history, they sang Psalm 118. What, you know, during this time, they sang many psalms, but one of the psalms that they sang was Psalm 118. If you'll turn to Psalm 118, and let's look at verse 22. So this is what the disciples and Jesus would have sang before they went out into the night. And notice verse 22 where they said, "The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner." So as they're going out into the night and as they're singing and saying, "The stone that the builders refuse has become the corner." As we look at the scripture today, we see that Jesus is identified as the stone that the builders rejected. He said himself that he was rejected. Peter said that he was the stone that was rejected. Now, there's an interesting story according to Jewish legend, and it says that whenever they built the temple, that Solomon had hired contractors, and that as they built the temple, that they sent this odd-shaped stone that didn't fit in with the rest of them. And that the contractor said, "We can't use this stone." So he threw it over the hill into a garbage dump. As they finished the temple, according to this account, they didn't have the cornerstone. And so the contractor talked to the individual who cut the stones, and he said, "Where's the cornerstone?" He said, "I already sent it." He said, "No, we don't have a cornerstone. We put up the temple and we don't have a cornerstone." And the guy said, "I already sent it." He said, "Well, I didn't see it." He said it was that odd-shaped stone. And so they had to go down into the dump. Oh, hallelujah. They had to go down into the dump, pull out the stone, the cornerstone for the temple. Man. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And so as we look at Passover, this would have been a hymn that they sang. And so Jesus knew exactly what he was singing on the night that they went out. The second thing that I want to say is that the Lord's Supper is based on the Passover. The Lord's Supper is based on the Passover. Look in your notes. It is interesting to note that there were many opportunities for those who wanted to kill Jesus to do so. We know they wanted to kill him. As a matter of fact, his disciples warned him on several occasions that he needed to watch his back because people were out to kill him. Yet the scripture informs us that they that sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour had not come. So there are all these opportunities. Man, this is deep. I mean, this is really deep. There's all these opportunities for them to kill Jesus. But nobody could kill him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. As we go on and read, Jesus waited until when? He waited to Passover to give himself over to his enemies. That's why Jesus said, nobody takes my life. Nobody takes my life. Are you crazy? I lay it down and I take it up. I decide when I'm going to die. And so, when did Jesus decide that he was going to die? He decided that he was going to die that week. And it was during what? The Passover. And so as Jesus is celebrating the Passover, let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. As Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples, Luke chapter 22. In verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before. I've decided to eat this Passover with you. Wow. Before I suffer, nobody takes my life. I lay it down and I take it up. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more of eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom. And he took the cup. Where were they at? They were at Passover. They were eating the Passover. And he gave thanks. And he said this, and divided among yourselves. And he said unto, for this I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread. And he took the bread and broke it. And gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus is at the Passover meal. He's observing Passover.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Feasts of Passover. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, the Feasts of Passover, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the Feasts of Passover. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the Feasts of Passover. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.